From the KERA Newsroom, I'm Sam Baker. Ahead, our big screen team looks at a recent Hollywood portrayal of Alzheimer's disease. First, though, about an hour from now, Arlington residents will weigh in on new federal rules to reduce smog. It's the first of three EPA public hearings on the proposal. The new rules would reduce permissible levels of smog by 5 to 10 parts per billion. The EPA's Air Quality Index shows the DFW area last year had the most days with unhealthy levels of ozone in Texas. The public hearing starts at 9 o'clock this morning at Arlington City Hall and ends tonight at 7:30. Tomorrow's opening night for an original musical at the Dallas Theater Center. A central challenge of Stagger Lee has been how to evoke the spirit of a decade of African-American music in just a few chords. In Chapter 2 of the Art and Seek series, Stagger Lee, Making a Musical, KERA's Jerome Weeks gets a music lesson from composer Justin Ellington.
Justin Ellington sits at the piano in the rehearsal room at the Wiley Theater. He's explaining why he didn't want the show Stagger Lee to stay in just one musical time and place, St. Louis, 1910. It's a place Ellington calls ragtime land.
In ragtime land, you'd hear a lot of... So there's a type of hope in the chords, but I don't hear sadness in that.
And Stagger Lee was going to need some sadness, some real conflict. Stagger Lee was originally set in St. Louis because that's the setting of the old song, Stagger Lee, the song that inspired the show. Will Power, the author of the musical, wanted to tell a story of young black couples in the early 1900s as they try to move from the country to the city, escape racism, build new homes. Ellington is Will Power's collaborator. He's a composer and music director. But early in their collaboration on Stagger Lee, Ellington had a suggestion for Power.
What would really be cool for not only the story but the music and all designers involved is if we just kind of move throughout different time periods. I would just love to explore all these different forms of music.
So now Stagger Lee jumps from St. Louis to Harlem to Chicago and beyond. It became less a story about just Stagger Lee, a defiant tough guy. It became instead the story of the civil rights struggle and the Great Migration. That's the mass exodus of ordinary African Americans from the Deep South into the big cities. That also meant Stagger Lee became an epic history of black music in the 20th century. It starts way back with stomping spirituals from Mississippi.
Now where you go, now where you go, gotta take.
Then it goes all the way up through rhythm and blues and techno-funk from Detroit. That's a lot of musical turf to cover. But Ellington says he can just hint at this or that style, like when the show segues from 1930s jazz to 1940s swing.
With the Stagger Lee song, for example. So we're in this Cab Calloway vibe. Then there's a change. So those chords, to me, are not necessarily of that time. They came from when swing began.
Ellington is only distantly related to Duke Ellington, but he is a musical historical chameleon, ranging across influences, drawing on similar styles. With Stagger Lee, the composer knows, as catchy or evocative as his tunes are, they're at the service of the musical story. Yet he sees the conflicts in that story, the story of black people pushing for a better life, as actually embedded in his music, in its component parts.
The whole show is the blues to me, and that is what the world should be and what the world is. And those things work together, you know. You get all these rubs and it's nasty, but there's still hope. And I think to really get to the hope, you have to address the blues. And I think the show is that.
And that is what we call musical theater. Jerome Weeks, KERA News.
Check out Art and Seek's digital storytelling project at artandseek.org/Stagger Lee. Our series concludes next Thursday with a look at the significance of a homegrown musical by a Black cast and creative team. In her Oscar-nominated role in Still Alice, Julianne Moore plays a college professor shocked to learn she has early-onset Alzheimer's disease. Our big screen team talks with a Dallas Alzheimer's expert about how the disease is portrayed in film.
I'm Chris Wagner, culture critic for the Dallas Morning News.
And I'm Stephen Becker with KERA, and today we're joined by Dr. Diana Kerwin. She's the chair of the Dallas chapter of the Alzheimer's Association and the director of the Texas Alzheimer's and Memory Disorders Program. Diana, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So before we start, let's listen to Julianne Moore's character describe what it feels like to have Alzheimer's disease.
On my good days, I can, you know, almost pass for a normal person, but on my bad days, I feel like I can't find myself. I've always been so defined by my intellect, my language, my articulation, and now sometimes I can see the words hanging in front of me and I can't reach them and I don't know who I am and I don't know what I'm going to lose next.
From your experiences, is that an accurate description?
It really is. It was very powerful. Often the patients that I've interacted with can't express to you what they're feeling. Oftentimes they're not quite aware of their memory lapses. But when you do ask them something like the way Kristen Stewart asked her mom, they can tell you, it's there, I just can't get to it. But she really described it beautifully as far as there's good days and bad days. Definitely the word finding issue is something that they struggle with, but she really hit it on the head.
What did you think of her performance as a whole, especially as it pertains to Alzheimer's?
Overall, I thought she did a really excellent job. It's different for every patient, so I can't say that for everyone watching this, if they have a loved one who has Alzheimer's disease, that they're going to identify with all the pieces of it, but they really put a lot of aspects of the disease into the character as they kind of took many different patients and put it into one person.
One of the things Alice does is she sort of tries to communicate with her future self through the use of videos and notes. Is that something that you see commonly among patients who they're trying to kind of get something on the record for when they can't function the same?
I haven't seen that, but it's sort of the idea of, you know, what should I anticipate? What's going to happen in the future? And I think they took it the next step of how can I still control the future if I'm no longer aware of it?
Do you see this as a film that has potential to change people's thinking and, more importantly, raise awareness of Alzheimer's?
Absolutely. The fact that they... the author covering a young onset Alzheimer's disease, as you know, the character in this case was 50 years old, which is very young onset. Typically, we think of Alzheimer's disease as an older person's disease, people over the age of 70. The awareness that this will bring about is that this is affecting people in their 50s and 60s, when they're still working, when we're still sort of in the prime of our life, not thinking that something's really going to take you down like that and make it so that you can't work or you can't have your mental abilities. So they really, I think, will bring awareness to that, bring awareness to the fact of what a difficult diagnosis it can be, that oftentimes, especially in younger persons, it's the last thing the doctor might think of. And they brought up a lot of other issues about family dynamics and how to care for your loved one.
That is one of the major parts of the film, is how the family, Alice has a husband and three grown kids, and they're often at odds on how they should help her and how they should deal with the disease.
The one thing for families is to try to meet as a group. And even if you don't quite agree where everyone is, put the patient first. Kristen Stewart's character really did that. She saw her mom for what was happening and still treated her as her mom, but was really there for what she needed at that time. And that's important in this disease, is addressing the disease where it is at that point in time, and not how it was 5 years ago or 5 months ago, and not how it's going to be in 6 months, but how it is that day.
Dr. Kerwin, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thanks for being here.
That was our big screen team, Stephen Becker and Chris Wagner. You can like KERA News on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. From the KERA Newsroom, I'm CM Baker.